This morning's passage from the Old Testament is from Isaiah chapter 35. It will be referenced again when we study Matthew chapter 15. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be made there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we come before you this morning, and our hearts long for the day in which our souls are satisfied with the healing that comes only through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, when we read passages like this from Isaiah chapter 35, we think about you being not only the creator of all things, but the healer of all things as well. The one who redeems people and who will redeem this world for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we also think of the brokenness that is in the world and the brokenness of sin that is a part of our life. And we are so thankful that you are faithful to redeem. Father, I ask now that you would be with us this morning and be with those who are hurting. I think about Mr. Don Orr and his body. I pray that you would put your hand of blessing upon him and heal him in this hour. Lord, I pray also for Miss Jenny. I thank you so much that she's well taken care of. But I ask that you would be with Miss Jenny Morton, that your comfort and care would be upon her. And I thank you for Paul as he takes care of his wife. Would you continue to bless them? Father, we ask that you would be with those who are sick and suffering in our congregation, that you would bring healing to their bodies and bring them back to us soon. Lord, we pray for those who are preaching and proclaiming God's word today, that you would give them your spirit and your wisdom as they do that. Father, I especially think about our missionaries who are worshiping you all across the world this morning, from the Philippines to Central Asia, to Utah and Salt Lake City, to even here in New Mexico and Vanderwagen. I ask that your hand of blessing would be upon your people as they gather together. And thank you so much that we have an opportunity to take your gospel to places that we ourselves may never go, to bring light into darkness. Lord, I pray that you would give us a heart for those who have not heard. And we would pray that the glory of the Lord would cover the face of the earth like the waters cover in the oceans. Now we ask, Lord, that as we step into the study of your word, that your spirit would go with us and before us and in us. Open up our eyes so that we might see, and open up our ears so that we might hear. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As you are taking your seat, I'd ask that you would take out your copy of Scripture and turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, and we will be making our way through the rest of the chapter of Matthew, or at least part of it, Matthew 15 this morning. And as you're making your way there, I want to ask you, have you ever heard this phrase? You have arrived at your destination. I'm always happy when we hear that. You have arrived at your destination. Now, if you're like us, you've probably placed it into your phone GPS app, or maybe you still have the one, the GPS, the Garmin, or the TomTom. Wasn't that the old one that you would put in? Now, in order to hear those very wanted words, you have arrived at your destination, you have to do some things first. Number one, you have to put the destination in at which you want to arrive at. And number two, the next thing it asks you for is, what is your starting point? What is your starting point? What is your destination? And then, after you accomplish that, you will hear those words, you have arrived at your destination. But here's the key. All along that journey, it's tracking you, and it knows where you are because of where you began and where you will end. That's exactly what's happening here in the book of Matthew. We are at a turning point in the book of Matthew, and if we forget where Matthew is going and where Matthew began, we won't catch the significance of this passage. So let us be reminded of where we are going in Matthew, and let us begin where Matthew began. Matthew began by saying this: this is the book, the genealogy, the genesis of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. In short, this is Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. He has come to his people. From the beginning, repeated and reinforced over and over again, Jesus is born in Bethlehem as the Jewish Messiah. And you'll hear Matthew repeat this, and this is to fulfill what was written by fill in the blank. He is the Jewish Messiah. So much so that his life even reflects the Old Testament. Israel went to Egypt. Jesus fled to Egypt. Israel was delivered out of Egypt through water. Jesus himself came out of Egypt and eventually himself went through the waters of baptism. Israel was tempted in the wilderness. Jesus tempted in the wilderness. Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament with his life. He is the Jewish Messiah, the one to come. Just as Moses was sent to the lost sheep of Israel, so Jesus will be sent to the lost sheep of Israel. They are his people, so much so that the angel tells Joseph to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And the question is, who is his people? The Jewish people? Yes. Could there be more? That's the beginning. Where do we end in Matthew? Matthew chapter 28, after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, at the instigation of his own people and on the Roman cross, this is the instructions that Jesus gives to his apostles, disciples. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples, catch it, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Luke ends his gospel quoting Jesus very similarly. Listen to what Jesus says at the end of the Gospel of Luke. Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Where do we begin? Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, born in Bethlehem, sent to his people. Where do we end? Go into all the nations and tell them of the gospel. How does that turn happen? I'm glad you ask. Matthew chapter 15. Let's see how it happens. Let me read the passage that we'll study this morning and then ask the Lord to bless our time together. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came, and she knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she says, "Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up onto the mountain and he sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and the many others. And they put them at his feet and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the cripple healthy, the lame walking, the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Father, I ask this morning that you would take your holy word, recorded by Matthew, and then spoken by your Son, Jesus Christ, and that you would let it find root in our hearts, that you would plant it deep within us, that you might feed and nourish our souls, and that you might heal our brokenness. Father, I ask this morning that you would just forgive me of my sin. And Lord, wash me in the water and the blood of Christ. And Lord, let your Spirit come forward and Christ himself come forward and proclaim his word to his people to nourish their souls this morning, I ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We have seen hints that this was coming. Who was the first people to worship Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew? Was it the Jewish kings or the religious leaders? No. Three kings from the east. Gentiles. Who was the person that Jesus said, "I have not seen such faith in all of Israel"? Was it the chief priests, the Pharisees, or the scribes? No. A centurion. Gentile, in which Jesus said that. We've seen glimpses of it, but now we're going to gaze upon Jesus' mission, and we're going to see God's unbounded grace spread not only in Jerusalem or over the walls of Jerusalem, but we will get a glimpse of what will happen. It will go from Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. God's grace will be unbounded for his people. Verse 21. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying towards him. Jesus left there. Last week, we were there. Where is there? He was having a conversation, remember, with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they were all tore up because Jesus' disciples would not wash their hands before they ate bread. And they said, "You are ceremonially unclean because of this." And Jesus says, "That is the tradition of man, not the command of God. What defiles a person is not what comes into them, but what comes out of them, out of the heart." The heart is the issue. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. What about people? You see, the Pharisees were worried that if they went to the market, they might touch something that a Gentile has touched, and they would be unclean. And so they washed their hands. What about people? Jesus says, "I'll tell you about people." And so he leaves Galilee, and where does he go? Immediately, on a mission from God, he goes to Tyre in Sidon. And you need to ask, why does he go there? He goes outside of Israel. He goes to a place that is a no-go zone for a Jew that wants to stay clean. These are the places that were cursed in the Old Testament. These were port cities. People from all around the world was there. They were rich and lavish and luxurious and prideful and idolaters. This was a no-go zone. You cannot go there and stay clean. And Jesus goes there. Who meets Jesus as he goes? And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying. Now, in Jesus' day, they did not use that word Canaanite. It was from the Old Testament. These were the people that the Israelites cast out. And so when it says a Canaanite woman, she is a person that is rejected. So Jesus is going to those places that are outcast and rejected for a purpose. Why did Jesus go there? That's the question. Why did he go to this region? And why is it important to you? That's the question we want to answer eventually. Jesus goes to the regions of Sidon and Tyre, and he is met by a Canaanite woman. And before we get talking about this conversation that Jesus and her have, we need to think about what Jesus is doing, and I'm going to explain it by way of illustration to begin with. If you were to wake up this morning, and around 6:15, you were up early, you look to the east, you would find our sun and all of its glory coming up over Sandia Mountains. And it was a beautiful sunrise, and it was great, and it was glorious, and we properly call the sun rose that morning. And as we track it across the sun, it's going to set in the west in the evening. But you know that the sun actually didn't rise, right? Like the earth is rotating like this and spinning, and the sun is stationary. And as the earth rotates, we see it appears that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. And that's good language to do that. But my point is, things are not always what they seem. Different illustration to point that. If you were watching the Super Bowl in 2017, at Super Bowl 51, and you stopped watching in the third quarter, nobody would have blamed you at all, because at that point in time, the Falcons were beating the Patriots 28-3. And he said, I'm going to bed, right? If you would have went to bed that night, you would have woken up the next morning and missed the greatest, largest comeback in Super Bowl history, because the Patriots ended up winning that game 34-28 in overtime. The only overtime Super Bowl game that we know of until that time. You see, things are not always as they seem. And that's what happens here in this conversation between Jesus and the Canaanite woman. You might say, you know, Jesus, his silence and his words, they actually sound a little bit hard and harsh. What's going on here? Well, let me remind you that Jesus knows the beginning from the end. He knows how this conversation is going to take place. And what he is doing is he is drawing out the heart of this Canaanite woman so that she actually proclaims the theological point that he is trying to make. And he will declare, you have great faith. I want you to watch how this takes place. A rejected, outcast woman is blessed. She came to him crying out, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. We're already getting hints of what's going on, aren't we? I mean, she is not a Jew. She's from Sidon and Tyre, that region. She's a Canaanite woman. But do you hear what she says? She comes to Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, and she says, have mercy. Will the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, have mercy on a Canaanite, rejected, outcast woman? That's the question. Will she do it? Will he do it? And you listen to her words. Only two other people in the Gospel of Matthew have said, Son of David, and they both were blind. But they could see. Here she says it. You, the Jewish Messiah, Son of David, will you have mercy upon me? What is Jesus' answer to her? Look at the text. How does Jesus answer her? Silence. Crickets. Not a word. Not a peep. Look at verse 23. But he did not answer her a word. Got to remember, Jesus is drawing out her heart. She has not made the point that he came there to make yet. He says not a word. But somebody does talk. Who talks? The disciples. So Jesus goes from silence. He's going to talk about sheep next. Look at verse 23 and then, but he did not answer her a word. And the disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. If you would allow me to paraphrase that, Jesus, just do what she says so she goes away. We don't want her here with us. Do it. Get it over with. Get her out of our hair. And what does Jesus say, not to the Canaanite woman, but to his disciples? He answered, verse 24, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That is very consistent with Matthew up to this point, right? Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, sent to his people to save them from their sins. In fact, he even tells his disciples to do the same very thing. If you look in chapter 10, when he sends his disciples out, this is what he says, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is consistent, and Jesus is being consistent, and he is taking upon the role of the Jewish teacher at that time, once again, to draw her out. He's after her heart. He wants her to say his point. So he says that. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So we go from silence, next to what? To sheep, and then to surprise. And what Jesus says next will surprise us, and how the woman answers will knock our socks off. Listen as Jesus goes one step further. Verse 25, but she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. Now at this point, if I'm reading through this for the very first time, I'm thinking to myself right now, Jesus is going to pour his blessing upon this Canaanite woman. We're thinking, here she comes. She's a Canaanite, rejected, outcast of a person. And she comes and she bows down at the feet of him. And she says, Lord, please help me. But Jesus has one more thing to say. What does Jesus say in verse 26? Read with me. And he answered, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He uses an illustration to show the prevailing thought of the time. How could and should the Jewish Messiah take the blessings that are theirs and give it away? Now remember the expectations of the Jews at that time. The Messiah would come and he would gather God's people to himself. Scattered sheep is not a good thing. Why do you say that? Well, it's hard to feed scattered sheep. Scattered sheep are vulnerable to attack. Scattered sheep They'll go thirsty. You'll lose one. He has come to gather the scattered sheep of Israel. And the question is, will he give his blessing to this lady? Now, the way Jesus says this is expecting an answer. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Is it? Is it right? He's asking her, is it right? Would you do it? Would you? Listen to her answer. She says, yes, Lord. And that can be taken in two ways. Yes, Lord, you are right in what you say. Or yes, Lord, it is right to give bread to the dogs. The latter is the better translation. In the Greek, it says, for even. Yes, Lord, for even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Do you see what she said? Jesus says, is it right to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs? Is it right for the Jewish Messiah to give this blessing to the outcast and reject it? And her answer is, yes, Lord, for even the little puppies eat under the master's table. That is the moment that she said, the point that Jesus went there to make. The Jewish Messiah will bless the Gentiles. And this is the moment in the book that the turn takes place. And we see the beginning and the end come together. So what does Jesus do when she declares that theological point that he was trying to make? O woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you for as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. A rejected, outcast, Canaanite woman from the region of Sidon and Tyre, is blessed. Point number one. Point number two, the broken outcast healed. And now's your question that you need to ask like this. Well, is this a one-off Jesus blessing this rejected, broken woman, or is it a sign of things to come? Let us continue to read to answer that question. Jesus heals many. Verse 29. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee, and he went up onto the mountain and he sat down there. Now, think for a second what Jesus is doing. So he goes from Galilee up to this region that's a no-go zone, and he blesses a rejected, outcast Canaanite woman. Now he makes his way back down to Galilee, but not the Jewish area. He goes, as Mark says, to the Decapolis, to the Gentile area around the Sea of Galilee. So here he is in the Gentile area around the Sea of Galilee, and what happens? He goes up into the mountains, probably where the Golan Heights is today, and people start streaming in to Jesus. And how do they come to him? Look at verse 30. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. So imagine the scene. Jesus is coming back down around the Sea of Galilee. He goes up into the hills, and people are streaming to him. And how do they come to him? Some of them come limping. Some of them come being led by others. Some of them come not hearing a sound of a bird or the wind in the wheat, not speaking. They come lame, weak, broken. These are the broken Gentiles streaming to Jesus, and what do? They fall at his feet. Look at verse 30. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and they put them at his feet, and he healed them. Will the Jewish Messiah, Jesus, take the blessings of God and allow them to overflow to the Gentiles? And the answer is a resounding yes. And what is happening in this very moment? We read it earlier, didn't we? Isaiah chapter 35. Let me read it again to remind us of what's taking place here in Galilee. Isaiah 35, verse 4. So to those who have an anxious heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, and he will come and he will save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And shall the lame man, he shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy, for the waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. Back to Matthew. Let me read verse 31. So the crowd marveled when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. You see the connection? God is fulfilling Isaiah 35 right there in the hills of Galilee as Jesus sits, and the Gentiles stream to him and they fall at his feet. And now it's time for application. Have you ever said something that you wish you'd never said? Have you ever made a decision that you wish you could walk back, but you can't? Have you ever did something that you instantly regretted? Sin has broken each and every one of us. There's not a person who came through this door that hasn't felt the broken effects of sin in their life. And the question is, this is the question that all of us think when we think about us in our brokenness: can God really have mercy and grace on me? Will God show his boundless love to someone like me, broken as I am, rejected, outcast, not deserving of anything? Will he do it? And the answer from the Gospel of Matthew is yes, yes, and yes. And then your next question is, Pastor, how can I receive the grace of God this morning? And I say, just do what they did. Fall at the feet of Jesus. Tell him that you need his help. Tell him there's nowhere else I can go. I'm a rejected outcast. And when you come and bow down at the feet of Jesus in all your brokenness, and you give it to him, God's grace will cover you. And he will draw you in. And he will heal you from the inside out. That's the promise of Jesus, the Messiah. What happens after you are healed by God's grace from your sin? This is what happens. It happens there too. And they glorified the God of Israel. You see that? They, the Gentiles, who streamed to him broken, were healed at the feet of Jesus, and they lift up praise to God Almighty, the God of Israel, and had a little taste of what's to come forevermore. Because there will be a day when people from every tribe, every tongue, every language will gather around the throne of God and lift up the God of Israel in the name of Jesus Christ, who saved them. And every time we gather here and we open that hymn, and from the bottom of your heart you sing of the redeeming grace of God, you too get a taste of what's to come. Friends, I hope your eyes can see and your ears have heard of the boundless grace of God this morning. I hope you have tasted it. I hope you have felt it in your bones. I hope you come to Jesus and give him all your brokenness and say, please, heal me. Let us pray. Father, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we just confess to you, we are the broken. We are the rejected. We are the outcast in and of ourselves. And the only recourse that we have is to come to the feet of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave his life for us so that we might be healed. And Father, I pray that every person in here, those who are hurting and broken, anxious of heart and soul, would see afresh and anew this morning the boundless grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I ask this in his name. Amen.